from NPR News. This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Once a month, we catch up with the NAACP and the National Urban League to hear more about what their organizations are working on. This month, we'll talk about the upcoming NAACP convention, the latest news with the Voting Rights Act, and the Essence Music Festival's move from New Orleans to Houston this year. Joining me are Mark Morial, President and CEO of the Urban League, and Bruce Gordon, President and CEO of the NAACP. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good morning, Ed.
Hello, Ed.
Mark, let me start with you. You're down in Houston. This is bittersweet in one sense because New Orleans, of course, for years had been the home of the Essence Music Festival. So in a sense, it really does show that New Orleans isn't quite back to its glory, obviously. Bittersweet, but a lot of work going on down there beyond just the music.
New Orleans certainly is still in crisis, and I'm hopeful that the Essence Festival will return to New Orleans at some time in the future. Houston's done a great job, and the Essence team should be given great kudos for continuing the festival, and the Houston community should be given great kudos for rolling out the red carpet to host this. But importantly, this year, Susan Taylor's leadership has spawned Essence Cares, which is an initiative which is a part of the festival to encourage people to give back to the youth of our communities. And there's great interest, I think, in making sure that these gatherings are not only a party, but a party with a purpose. And this year there's been a concerted effort through which I, in the National Urban League, I know Bruce and the NAACP, other organizations, have had and will have an opportunity to participate. We have booths. We have some FaceTime with the audience, on, both on stage and at empowerment seminars. So it's been a positive part of something that's a very important gathering of several hundred thousand people from around the nation.
And beyond just this weekend, Bruce Gordon, Mark mentions the Essence Cares Mentoring Project. This is something that will be an ongoing relationship between your organization and Essence.
Yes, we are both here in Houston taking advantage of the Essence Gathering to really create some momentum going into our conventions and going into an ongoing relationship with our young people. Susan, as Mark points out, has had a long track record in focusing on the importance and attention that needs to be given to our young people. And this is a chance to ignite that and keep it going. We, too, are here in Houston and are focusing on two areas, frankly, that I think are very relevant to our young people. One is education. We really have been, for many years now, but particularly in 2006, trying to get some momentum around equal access to quality education, and all the statistics that you would look at across the country will demonstrate that today our young people do not have that access. In addition to that, as we come up towards the elections in November, we are here to ignite our registration campaign to really get people to vote their values in terms of putting elected officials in place who will support policies that direct funding to education, direct voting rights, and all those other things that matter to the future of our young people.
And Bruce, we should note that that is the theme of the 97th annual convention, the NAACP convention that will open in Washington, D.C. on July 15th.
We're excited about our convention. This, Ed, will, as you know, be my first convention as the president and CEO of the NAACP. And voting our values, valuing our votes, is our theme. It's something that should be taken literally, particularly in the face of the continuing challenges we see in Washington around the Voting Rights Act. As you well know, in the House, that act was on track until a small number of extreme right-wing southeastern United States politicians hijacked it. We've got a lot of work to do and are activating our people over this recess to really move those politicians to get back in line. But we're going to focus on traditional voting, registration, education, and participation. But as you well know, Ed, voting goes beyond the polling place. It goes to how we vote with our dollars, how we vote with the programs we watch, the things we listen to. So we're going to have a wide agenda of issues around voting so that our people, our communities understand the power of the vote and the fact that we've got to exercise that power if we want to get change affecting in America.
We'll talk about some of the people that will be speaking at the convention in just a moment. But, Mark, let me ask you what Bruce brings up, and that is something that we've been covering over the last 2 weeks extensively, and that's the question of, as Bruce put it, the hijacking of the Voting Rights Act, the provisions, two of which are in question. What do you want people to do to help move this along, just general lay people who may feel there's nothing for me to do?
Well, there are a couple of things. And first of all, we have to demand that the Voting Rights Act extension bill be voted on immediately, and in no case not later than the beginning of the congressional recess, which is in August. There are a number of things people can do. They can sign a petition, which is now online at the National Coalition for Black Civic Participation .org's website, and it's probably going to be available on another on many other organizations' website. Secondly, we have to increase the pressure, and we'll be doing some things over the next week or so to increase that pressure by holding a vigil on the steps of the U.S. Capitol beginning on July 12th in an effort to say to the Congress that we're going to be visible and there until you pass this extension. Here's the point. A small group of conservative members of the House, not a majority, nowhere near a majority, have been allowed to hijack, block a vote. It is very important that everyone recognize that the Voting Rights Act extension bill has on the record the support of both the Republican and Democratic leaders of the House and the Senate, as well as the President. And great credit goes to Mel Watt and the Congressional Black Caucus for their leadership in helping to pull together this coalition. So at this point, a vote on the House floor and the Senate floor is what we want. And I'm confident if the vote is taken up or down without any shenanigans and without any divisive, diversionary amendments, this bill is going to pass overwhelmingly. It's important because the Voting Rights Act is about that set of laws that protects our right to vote, the hard-fought right to vote. So we think people should, one, be engaged. I've found, Ed, that people across the country, people in our community, understand that the Voting Rights Act is important, but may not particularly know specificity about the provisions. Mm-hmm. And without getting into a lot of legalese, the important thing is that these are the rules, these are the regs that protect the right to vote. The language provision certainly is important, but also the provision which requires a number of states, mainly southern states with a long history of discrimination, to get the approval of the Justice Department before they change their voting laws, before they redistrict, before they relocate polling places. So that's the point, and we encourage people to be engaged and sign that petition online.
Bruce, the idea that Mark brings up, social engagement, is something that I know during your tenure you want people to be involved with, and this could be one of those instances where not only signing the petition, but actually calling not only your congressman's office, but other congresspeople to say that this is important and you want it passed.
One of the things, Ed, that the NAACP has going for it that is a tremendous asset is 2,000 units across the country. And we turned those units loose starting this past weekend to do just what you said, and that is to visit the offices of their elected officials who were home for recess, to call them, to write them, to make it very clear across the country in major cities and in small towns that we expect their vote on the Voting Rights Act. Something that that needs to be understood here, to Mark's point, is that this has to pass through both houses. Our focus has been on the House of Representatives because that's where Mel Watt and his leadership, along with Congressman Sensenbrenner, got some positive momentum. But the bill is still in committee in the Senate. And until Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania, and for all those Pennsylvania listeners, you should be calling Arlen Specter's office. He chairs the Judiciary Committee. He's the one who's got to push this bill through to markup as soon as they get back into session. So there's a lot of work, and we all have to pick up the phones, vote with our feet, and go see our elected officials and make it clear to them. In addition to that, if I could tell you this, Ed, there's got to be enforcement. As Mark will tell you, the Voting Rights Act is in place today, and it's up, to, among other things, to the Department of Justice to make sure that that Voting Rights Act is enforced as it is written and to the spirit. And to that extent, we're going to have a hearing this coming Friday to really focus on, frankly, the failure, in our opinion, of the Department of Justice to enforce the provisions of the existing voting rights to the extent that they should, which is why, for instance, people who were evacuated from New Orleans to Houston, where we are today, were unable to vote in the New Orleans mayoral elections from a remote satellite location. So there's much to do in passing the law. There is also much to do in enforcing the law. And this is something that every single American, both in the South, in the North, in the Midwest, like Ohio and Indiana, has to pay attention to.
Let me very quickly, Bruce, if I may, with our time running out less than a minute, Barack Obama, Ted Kennedy, Harry Reid, Hillary Clinton, just some of the people that will be speaking during the 97th Annual Convention, again, opens up July 15th in the nation's capital. Did you invite the president?
We invited the president, and while we do not have confirmation that the president will attend, I am hopeful that he will. As you know, I've spent a year trying to build a more productive relationship with the White House, and we've made some progress. So while things are far from firm, I'm expecting, frankly, that he will attend.
All right. Mark Morial, President and CEO of the National Urban League, and Bruce Gordon, President and CEO of the NAACP. As always, gentlemen, thanks.
A pleasure. Thank you.